Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here's your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. Now, live, this is Close Up Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and it's great to have you with us on this Wednesday evening, May 15th, 2013. We are live worldwide coming to you from the Close Up Talk Radio studios on Close Up Talk Radio, a fascinating broadcast series that spotlights some of the most innovative and exciting and interesting topics and people from around the world who are truly making a difference in their everyday lives and affecting the lives positively of so many, whether it is through their ingenious creations or just their individual personality, skills, education, and experience. We really do showcase some amazing people on our broadcasts. We do invite you to also like our Facebook fan page. You can find us at Close Up Talk Radio at Facebook as well. And we also invite you to keep tuned to Close Up Talk Radio as we do have, again, continued shows 7 days a week right here on Close Up Talk Radio. I've been talking about this topic with lots of colleagues and friends all day long. They're very excited about our guest that's joining me this evening. It's about relationships. It's really a great topic. And so many of you have been saying you couldn't wait for our guest that's going to join me in a moment from Folsom, California, to join me. His name is Brian Kipta. And, you know, while the secret to a happy marriage remains a secret, many couples who have experienced difficulties in their relationship have found help through couples therapy. Now, unfortunately, according to recent surveys, nearly two-thirds of divorced couples never sought therapy before dissolving their relationship. Had they done so, perhaps many of these couples could have been possibly brought back together, and they could have possibly reconciled. Brian Kipta is a registered intern and employee of Life Practice Counseling Group, supervised by Carissa Sherwood, specializing in couples therapy. Brian works with couples one-on-one in various levels of distress to help resolve their issues and restore their relationship. And it's very important to have somebody with the skills and attributes and the personality of a Brian Kipta to help you through things in your life that sometimes seem overwhelming, that are stressful. There's so many things in our world now that are coming at us that can make daily life very stressful. Money, kids, house, cars, jobs, and so much more. According to Brian, couples typically don't argue really about the real issues that do bother them. They argue around the issue because they don't feel like it's something they can bring up with their spouse. It's really a fascinating topic, and the most important thing, as Brian will outline tonight on our broadcast, is established in a therapeutic environment, safety. It's essential people feel safe, respected, heard, and understood. And we're going to talk about that and much, much more. But first, let's welcome our very special guest, Brian Kipta, to our show. Again, calling in this evening from Folsom, California. Brian, good evening. Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio. It's so great to have you with us tonight.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here. It's great to have the opportunity.
We've been having some great conversations just before the show. I almost wish we were on live then. We really were hitting on some terrific topics. If you can, give us a little more background established for our audience joining us prime time this evening about your background and how you got into this world of helping people in the way that you do. I know you do have a love for what you do, but how did you get into it?
Well, as we were talking earlier, this is a second career for me. I was in the financial world selling mutual funds before I got into this, and that got a little old for me, and I was looking for another career. And actually, I was at a point in my life when I was pretty disillusioned, depressed, and I was actually in psychotherapy myself. And I was in a group therapy environment, and the facilitator, who is a psychologist, noticed how I interacted with the group. And he took me aside, knowing that I was looking for something else to do, and he said, you ought to look at being a therapist, and which really surprised me at the time. But the more I thought about it, the more it fit, because I always have liked working with people, and I didn't realize at the time, but looking back, I like providing people with insights and framing a different way to look at their circumstances so they could view it a different way and find solutions for difficulties that they're working with. So I pursued therapy school. I started about 5 years ago. I got a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and am currently working as an intern, collecting my hours towards licensure.
Now, one of the things that you do stress, as I said at the top, is that people really do need to feel safe and respected, heard and understood, not talked down to. They want to feel, because, you know, by the time they come to you and other experts in the world of relationships, you know, a lot of times they come because it's reached that crucial, important stage, and either they've agreed to or one of them is bringing the other one to, you know, try to work things out. But that environment of feeling safe, respected, heard, and understood, I mean, that's something I think that all of us need and want in life, whether relationships going south or not. But that is really, really important, isn't it?
It's absolutely crucial. And part of the reason why people start to drift apart in close relationships is because of a myriad of different circumstances, stimuli, triggers, and things like that. They start to feel unsafe, and they become defensive. And in reaction to that, their partner feels unsafe and defensive. And the next thing you know, they're not communicating, or they're not communicating their true feelings because they feel like they need to protect the truth because they're afraid that they'll be hurt. And so the very first thing that has to happen in a therapeutic environment when they come in to see me is we spend a lot of time establishing rapport, and not only stating explicitly that the purpose of this environment is to be safe, but actually creating a sense of safety in the environment. And that's when people can actually start to let their guards down, and we can actually start talking about what the issues are and what's really bothering them.
Now, do you focus primarily on marriage and family therapy?
Yeah, I as a marriage and family therapist, I work with individuals, couples, and families in just about all areas of primarily relationship issues. But a person who has my background can work with any kind of mental health issues. Some of us work with, for example, autistic children. We work with people with depression. We work with schizophrenics, bipolar, any of those types of issues. I personally, I work with people in all of those areas, but my skill and what I feel comfortable with and see the most results with happens to be just who I am. I work very well with couples, with both married couples and couples who aren't married, who are experiencing distress in a relationship, and I just kind of have a knack for it, actually, and it's worked very well for me in these last couple of years. So that's I'd say my practice is probably 60-70% married couples, or not necessarily, but couples, and then a myriad of people with individual issues and maybe a few families as well.
Now, of course, you know, obviously going to therapy takes a lot of courage. Do you find that it's easier for couples to come in, you know, as a twosome, or is it easier to come in individually, one-on-one? I'm sure you've probably experienced maybe both.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, it's not that it's easier as a couple or not. Some people find it easier coming in together. A lot of times a couple will want to come see me, but like you say, that people are a little bit intimidated. They don't feel good about it. So quite often what will happen is one party of the couple will come in and just get familiar with the process. And when they get comfortable and they experience change in the way they view their relationship, they take that home and they'll make their partner feel comfortable. And they'll say, well, yeah, I guess it is working for you and it is safe, so it's safe for me to come in. Other times the couple needs to come in together. Sometimes one part of the couple will not want to come in. They'll say, well, it's your problem, you go. And so only one party will. And again, they'll experience change. They'll experience it's a positive relationship. They feel safe. And then the other party who was actually against it will start to see that change, and they'll be curious and they'll want to come in and benefit from it too.
Do you find that sometimes, or majority of the time, by the time they come in to see somebody at your expert level, they're angry at each other? They're coming in both frustrated and angry, or are they coming in sad that this could possibly be the end of something that they had originally thought was going to be, you know, Snow White and Wizard of Oz in style when they first got together? Or are they just coming in there like aggravated?
Yeah, I got to apologize for laughing because it's...
No. I'm sure.
A lot of times, I can't really break this into percentages, but the answer to your question is yes to all of those. I think probably it's very common. Let me characterize it like this. It's very common that couples come in and they are very alienated toward each other, very acrimonious. I have a couch in my office, and it's not uncommon at all that they can't sit far enough away from each other on the couch. And one party can't say anything without hurting the other party, even not that they want to, but that's the point to where their relationship has come. And actually, that is one of my favorite types of couples to come in, because that is the couple that can experience the greatest degree of relief the fastest. Because that's the couple that using the approach that I do and the way that I see things, people with the most severe problem get the most noticeable, not the fastest, but the most noticeable results. And so they're most rewarding. And I see those couples in not 100% of the time, but the great majority of time in a course of sessions, they will be a loving couple again. They'll come very close together, and by the time they leave therapy, they're on their way to a relationship that continues to grow more intimate as time goes on. Other times, couples will come in and they're sad. They're sad because years ago they got married and they had a great passionate relationship, and as time went on, for, like I said before, a myriad of reasons, they drifted apart and they regret it. They don't know what happened. They don't know why. And they certainly don't want that to continue. And so there's that arrangement too. And they also experience quite frequently a great degree of relief. So there's those two extremes.
Sometimes people put undue pressure on themselves when they first get together as a couple and have this sort of Walt Disney Brady Bunch ideal of how perfect everything is supposed to be. And if they don't find the other person living up to the mental expectation that they have of what a relationship, a home, a spouse, is supposed to be, in their mind, it's supposed to be this glorious, perfect thing where everything is solved in 22 minutes, like on television. You find a lot of people that are battling that type of thing, that they thought it was going to be perfect, and not realizing that life has its stresses and not every day is going to be, you know, lollipops and ice cream.
Yeah, that certainly is a scenario, and that the what you're describing is people that get married either too quickly or when they're too emotionally a young age, and you know that chronological age and emotional age are not always the same, but it is a thing when people aren't quite mature, when they know that life isn't the, you know, all dreamy and Cinderella like. That's kind of an immature perspective, but there are those people, and they respond to therapy as well. I think more commonly, though, at least in my practice, I'm not saying specifically, you know, populations at large in the United States, but the people that I see tend to have fairly realistic expectations of their marriage when they go into it. But life events, stresses and things of that nature, or maybe some latent personality issues emerge in their marriage that change the perspective of how they look at each other over time. And so they just change over time. But the people who get married in the way that you say, where they have these unrealistic expectations, those type of marriages tend to suffer pretty quickly. And I do like to see them, but if they don't come in for therapy fairly quickly, they tend to fall apart faster.
You also meet with couples who are going to get married but aren't married yet.
I would like to see more of those.
that might help alleviate the divorce rate.
Well, it's you know, there's a lot you can do with regard to just the type of things we were just mentioning, expectations and planning and having discussions about critical issues beforehand so they don't become problems later. What happens a lot of times is people don't, when they're young, they fall in love and they do have a little bit of idealized perspective and they don't stop to think about the practical issues that they will have to face, because especially when people are young, people think, a lot of times they think that everybody else thinks, they have the same assumptions. Well, of course we're going to have three kids. Of course we're going to live with a picket fence and, you know, that kind of thing. And then they find out 3 or 5 years later that their other spouse had no intentions of doing that and doesn't like that kind of thing at all. So that's the kind of thing that premarital therapy is very, very instrumental on.
Or you can have a situation where we all know people where they go into it, and then 4 years into it, one spouse suddenly says, "Oh, you know, I decided I don't want to have children." After they had talked about it, and the other one, they had agreed that they would, but then life has, you know, come about. Years have gone on, and now you have the one spouse who wants the children, and the other one who's suddenly decided they'd rather not.
People's perspectives change, and what people think is important changes. And the thing about marriage is designed to be a lifelong thing, a lifelong arrangement. But that doesn't mean that people don't change, and just because they're married doesn't mean that they change together. But what marriage therapy does is, I mean, we all know, at least us marriage therapists, know that life changes and circumstances change and people change. And marriage is supposed to be a permanent arrangement, although not all marriages are, but that's the idea. So what marriage therapy does, it helps people recognize those changes that each other has so that they can cherish those changes and cope with them. Because it's not the circumstances that come up that are harmful to relationships, but it's the way people cope with those circumstances. And what we do a lot of times in marriage therapy is we help people understand the alliance that they have so that they can work together to deal with those circumstances instead of perceiving those circumstances as something that comes between them.
Exactly. What would you say, Brian, is your unique approach? Are you more of a mediator, a problem solver? How would you describe your unique approach?
Well, I am certainly neither of those. I do not mediate and I do not solve problems in this sense that, let's say, we're trying to decide if it's fair how many days of the week I do the dishes versus how many of the days of the week you do the dishes. I don't decide. I don't solve problems like that. I don't mediate things like that. What I do is I find that, and my therapeutic orientation says that people are best at resolving those issues themselves without my help, as long as they know and truly feel that they are on each other's side, that they work together, that they trust together, and they can be open with each other. And so what I do is I find the barriers to that type of a feeling, and I culture that trust between couples so I don't have to help them navigate their problems. they navigate their problems perfectly if they're working together and they trust that their most important concern while they're dealing with those is their harmony and their loving relationship with each other. So I don't mediate. I don't have to keep track of how bills are paid or how the kids can be raised or any of that stuff. The couple's best at doing that if they trust and know they trust each other and know each other has love for each other.
And it's best not for the couples to keep score. Oh, I did the dishes Monday and Tuesday, and he or she needs to do them Wednesday because I did them Monday or Tuesday. Some people do like to keep a scorecard of who's doing what, and that's, I guess, probably not too healthy, huh?
Well, what that is, that's actually a symptom of a problem.
Yeah.
And that's a symptom. That's a symptom of a lack of trust.
Right.
And so if people have to do that, then, you know, then they're saying, well, the important thing is that things are fair. The important things are that I do the dishes no more than you do the dishes. And I don't think that's the important thing. The important thing is that they love each other, they trust each other, and they can depend on each other to support each other.
Now, is the goal always reconciliation, Brian, or is it sometimes a case of, you know, helping a couple toward a point where they're going to have to part, but part amicably?
You know, that's a great point. And I don't always bring that up with couples, but sometimes I do, depending on how things go, because I like to have the assumption that that we're going to stay together, because I think that's the greatest chance of a positive outcome that way is that's the assumption. But I really don't have that assumption initially. I mean, I am not biased towards a couple when they come in that they stay together, because they might not be suited for each other and their problems might be so deeply rooted one way or another that they are not going to trust and love each other in the long term. But my job is to help people understand that is the case, so that if they do have to separate, they have a good feel for why that is. And separating amicably is good, but really knowing that that's the right decision is even more important than being amicable, although amicable is really way up there. I don't like it when people fight. I'd much rather have them understand if they're not suited for each other and can't get together, that when they separate, they do respect each other, but realize that their life together just, you know, it just isn't going to work. And that happens in less than, I haven't really been keeping statistics, but far less than 10% of the people that I see are like that.
Now, unfortunately, pretty much in all aspects of our life these days, we live in a very disposable society. You know, if we don't like something or something doesn't meet our criteria or we're just done with it, we tend to dispose of it quickly. It doesn't matter what it is, a shirt, car, I mean, much more than probably even in generations past. There's a lot of pressures on people these days in all realms. There always has been, you know, in life, but it just seems like more with economic and technology advancements and fast-paced and got to get it done now. What are some of the problems that you see couples coming to you with initially, and has that evolved with time and a faster-paced world?
You know, it's hard to say, but I think you're right in that things are more disposable now. Life is more fast-paced, and there are a lot more options for people outside of marriage. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. It just seems to be a sociological trend because, oh, let's say 30, 50 years ago, somewhere along that time frame, it was a lot more difficult for people to separate because there was a much more significant social stigma to it. It was even more difficult legally to separate or get divorced. And also, unfortunately, on the woman's side, they had less economic opportunities. A lot of things that kept them in the marriage arrangement was just a sense of security and economic security.
Sometimes religious aspects too come into play.
Very much. But the thing is I wanted to comment on one aspect of what you were talking about in terms of the disposability. There is a perception that I think, and I haven't read any studies about this, and I'm very big on, you know, doing and seeing what the data actually shows. But it seems to me that that there is a perception of disposability of, you know, we're very consumeristic in America here, and we have a sense of disposability. You know, we get rid of our computers every 3 years, 2 or 3 years, and televisions and all kinds of stuff like that. And but relationships are vastly different from any material relationship. And so when people think about, well, you know, this relationship is a little bit difficult. We've been married for 5-8 years, and we've grown, and there are other things to do, and I think I'll try something else out. When they separate, you lose all this history together, and there is so much that we learn about ourselves, and we grow as individuals through developing deeply intimate and trusting relationships with a lifelong partner. And it's so much more profitable to cultivate and retain that than it is just to keep it new and fresh and try something else. So I try to make people conscious of that, because there's so much value in maintaining a relationship. And the things that make people separate from each other are things within ourselves. And if we're able to get beyond those, we experience so much personal growth, and it can be so, so rewarding to develop and culture a closer, more intimate relationship that grows closer with time, years and decades. I mean, there's so much to be gained by that, there's nothing else in life that can replace that that I know of. So it's completely different from, you know, just a casual relationship or a material possession.
What are some of the things that you need to establish when it is the very first visit, and how do you stay neutral? That's got to be really hard sometimes.
Well, in a way, it's not. It's not really hard. Cause like we were saying earlier, I spend a lot of time establishing rapport and a sense of safety. And what I try to do initially is give the individuals in the relationship a sense that I am listening to them. That if they can't hear each other, they can be heard and understood by me, and I'm sympathetic to both of them. And I don't, you know, this thing with sides, it just doesn't exist from my perspective. When
right.
people are in to see me, they come in to see me. The individuals are not my client. The relationship is my client. So I look at what is in the way of the relationship. And,
that's a great
and,
way to put it.
Again, yeah, I like I was saying earlier, I don't have to mediate or figure out who's right. I don't know. I don't care who's right. What I care about is that the individuals have a genuine sense of connection, that they have a sense of vulnerability towards each other and caring for each other, and then they can work out their differences.
That's a terrific way to look at it. Now, are you available for a phone consultation as well? Our audience, obviously, is coast to coast, Canada, global. You're in Folsom, California, but is there an opportunity for people to possibly learn and get some counseling in remote ways as well?
You're actually asking me a tricky question.
Yeah.
Because legally, I cannot practice outside of the state of California.
Right.
So if someone I am legally able to do telephone consultations as long as I and the client are both in California. And I do consult with people on the phone. I have done that a little bit, but frankly, I just do that to make an initial assessment and find out if we're somewhat compatible. It's the type of thing that I work with when people come in the office, because the type of thing you and I are doing, you know, I understand you clearly, and I think our personalities are coming through the phone. We understand that we're good guys and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
But there's a tremendous amount of information that we are not afforded because we are not physically with each other in the same room, and I depend very heavily on that when I see clients.
Well, I'll be on the next plane, and we can have lunch in Laguna. That sounds good to me.
That'll work, yeah.
Let me give out your website, www.brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, therapy, therapy.com. And, Brian, our show has come to a conclusion here, but I thank you very much for being a part of our program. There's so much more to cover. We would love to welcome you back to the show soon. I would love to chat with you more and talk more about this, because I think it is so pressing now for people to hear this type of rich information that you're giving. So we hope to welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio, Brian, and thanks for being a part of tonight's program.
Yeah, well, I'd love to do it again. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you real soon, I'm sure. Brian Kipta, thank you very much. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, take care now. Our special guest, Brian Kipta, Life Practice Counseling Group. This is Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us live on Close Up Talk Radio. Have a great evening.